There's a few topics that, you know, I love preaching God's Bible, God's Word. I'm not a fan of Rob's sermons, neither are my kids, but I love God's Word and what he speaks through that. And I get really passionate about preaching about restoration and identity and the Holy Spirit and the gifts. And another one in my fivefecta, I call it, is preaching on missions. Because nothing has changed my life personally very much more than what it is to walk and live on missions. And so what is missions? When we talk about missions, what is it? It's obedience. Good answer. What else is that? Missions. Here's my little cheesy monkey definition. Taking salvation, freedom, and the restoration of Jesus to those who have not heard it. It's the saved taking it to the unsaved. And so there's one thing that's clear in the Bible is that we are all called to be and to live on mission. Capisce? Mission. Everybody say mission. And so what does missions have to do with you? Biblically, everything. Everything. We have got to get out of a Western motif and model in the church. And I think it's happening. I think God's doing it in large ways. There are huge, we used to be one of the biggest sending countries in the world, and now we are dropping vastly in the number of missionaries we send all over the world. People are sending missionaries to the States to reach us because we're so lost and broken. Some of you might think that's ridiculous, but take a minute and think about living overseas and watching the news, and that is your only identifier for who we are. What would you think about us? And by the way, is that even untrue? Here's the deal. What does it have to do with you? It has to do with everything. And so this morning, as we're going to talk about missions a little bit, we're going to talk about this supreme topic of obedience to Jesus and missions. And here are a few threefold blessings that come out of getting your head around missions. One, you bring God honor and glory. That is the purpose of your life. Somebody say amen. Other people get rocked by Jesus. How many of you would know Jesus without somebody ever sharing Jesus with you in one way or another? Anyone? You just had like a Holy Spirit encounter in the middle of the night and you woke up, oh, I need the Lord. Maybe some of you have. That happens from time to time. Jared kind of raised his hand. That was weird. And it's good for you. Now, here's my viewpoint on this week in this sermon series. What about missions in the mess? As you could see on the next slide or the first slide, whatever one you're going to go to, in Jesus' name, you see my little globe with his mask on because he's a good little boy and he listens to the CDC because it's next to godliness, right? Sometimes you just need to stir the pot. But so we've got our little dude on here. What about in uncertain times, like the times that we're living in? What about in racial chaos? And what about, governmental chaos and with our politics? And what about the nations as they rage and places like Myanmar where, you know, our movement has a big hand in where we were sending missionaries like crazy and all of a sudden the government broke out again and got crazy and there was a coup and all over the place, in places like Mongolia, which has been on our heart. Mongolia just recently elected as their president somebody from the Communist Party. Like the Communist Party is starting to rise again in places in Mongolia, which is bad because in the middle of China and Russia and that whole hemisphere, the only democratic nation that's there with free voting and free form for their people is Mongolia. And they are caked between North Korea, China, and Russia. And so it seems like the doors are closing again. So what do we do in times like this? Let me tell you, nothing, I'm just going to read this for you, nothing about the calling of God is interrupted or changed by the shifting sand and chaos of this world. It should be up there. His power, his sovereignty are the same. Our identity is the same and our calling is the same. Nothing has changed. When the nations rage, when our cities rage, when people are broken and people are crying out, that is not the time for the church to go backwards. Y'all, one of my greatest fears, and I've said it for 15 months, is that we've gone through this whole COVID thing, and I believe COVID was a blessing in many ways because it exposed the rotten, political, Americanized, Western me church. It broke it. Now, it still exists in a lot of form and fashion. But in the end, if we go back, and not only the political stuff, but the comfort and the all about me and the every sermon rubs my ears well and pastor don't speak on missions, talk on my identity, that kind of nonsense. We got to outgrow that. We got to move past that, amen? Like, the world is raging and believers are the answer. Literally, every single one of you. No matter how much money you have, what color you are, what mental issues you have, what you've done in the past, we are the answer to the problem. So to me, it almost seems the opposite. When the world seems to rage, the church, like a bunch of foolish Jesus-loving idiots, should raise their hand and say, I'll go. And missions, by the way, is here, there, and everywhere. It's your neighbor. It's this room. It's this nation. It's even Canada. Even Canada and the nations. Don't be jealous of my beautiful Canadian skin tone. Thank you. It's kind of sweet, isn't it? So let me read that again. Nothing about the calling of God is interrupted or changed by the shifting sand and chaos in this world. His power and sovereignty are the same. Our identity is the same and our calling is the same. Nothing has changed. And so also in this time when it seems like Jesus is getting closer, how many of you would predictively, maybe now it's changed from the last 6 months when I asked you this 6 months ago, how many of you think biblically and even stirring-wise, it seems like the end times, we are living in the end times. I don't want to get into that eschaton argument with any of you, but we are living in the end times since the resurrection of Jesus. But how many of you seem to think that Jesus could be coming soon? Like, it seems like there is more heaviness, there are more biblical things coming through if you paid attention to stuff in the Middle East. I mean, it seems like wickedness is at a high, but biblical prophecies are coming true, and I don't know the day. I care about the day because I want to go home and be with Jesus. I'm not going to spend all my time worrying about the day. What I'm going to do, though, is if I think that's true, then this missions piece better be the front runner in my heart. If I know Jesus is coming, if we feel it in the air, we know persecution could be coming for the Western church in one way or another. Our reaction isn't hunker down, which usually is. Our reaction should be go now. Be the church. Amen? This is urgent. Listen, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, it's the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is judged to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and complete patience in teaching, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Now, when we read texts like that, we will get way more excited about calling out false teachers and prophets and far less active in fulfilling what the end of that text says. He doesn't say, world is going to hell in a handbasket, Timothy. Hunker down. What does he say? The world might be going to hell in a handbasket. There is the false teachers. People are, by the way, does that seem like that's something going on now? That people in these last days are refusing sound doctrine, sound biblical teaching, and they are going to places that feed their hearts and stir their own souls instead of the kingdom in them? Yeah, those are those days. But Paul says, listen, be above that. Do the work. Hear the gospel. Be an evangelist. By the way, can anybody in here, starting alphabetically with your last family name, tell me how many of you in there found like you were, that Paul gave you an out in that? You ever listen to the Bible and read the Bible as if Paul was talking to you? Listen, things are bad. It's to be expected. Do your job. What about when we're talking about mess? What about the uncertainty in me? What about my mess? Most people will go when you talk about missions and being, and I'm not talking about necessarily being a missionary to China, although if you want to go, you and I can get on a plane next week and I would love to go down. The underground church in China stirs my heart almost more than anything on the world. I love it. I love it. It's not this propitiation, it's not this movement of white people going to these places. It's indigenous seeing Jesus move culturally because that's what Jesus does. Amen? And it's powerful. And the more you wrench down on the Chinese church, what happens? But the point is, and you could sign up for the China thing right after service if you want. We'll have a hard time getting in, but we'll camel back through the Mongolian mountains or something. And I hope they have air conditioning. Although, it shouldn't be that hot there. Amen? There's not a single follower of Jesus that isn't called to be on mission. And so men and women that rise out of ashes with Jesus aren't disqualified. Even men and women who are going through ash season because of their past, but they are exactly the people that Jesus always calls and uses. For the love of God, if God says you are His, if God says you're supposed to go, if God says He's going to equip you, stop arguing with Him. Stop doubting Him. Read the Bible. Your mistakes in your past do not negate the calling and power of God. It's a faith issue. If Jesus says go, what if I'm an introvert? What if I'm too much of an extrovert? What if I don't like people? I get it. That's probably a problem, right? The arguments have been baptized in the blood of Jesus. It is a faith thing. Talking to your neighbors, talking to the people at work about Jesus, living that life, going on U.S. trips, short-term trips overseas, or going to the nations is God's plan for you one way or another in that group. People will always say, well, we're not all called to go to the nations. I get it. So why don't you just prove me wrong by being the biggest rockin' missionary on Estelle Street in Wichita, Kansas? People are like, I'm not called to go do that, and you don't even do it here. Pick your field, listen to God, and serve. And by the way, your brokenness is actually fuel for the fire of what God calls us to. This is what I love when we send, when Restored or Antioch send teams to places overseas. And you've heard me talk about this before. We are not, the Antioch movement is full of 10 billion crazy college kids. They drive me crazy and I love them. They're all out there sharing the gospel and they're up all night doing their thing and worship parties and the rest of us old fogies are trying to get an hour of sleep. But here's what happens when our crew rolls through. And that will change, I'm sure, well, sometimes. But this is what I love. Our folks come through and they pick up pieces. Like, we know how to deal with people's brokenness. We know how to deal with what's going on. We know how to walk in discipleship. Like, it's our brokenness baptized in Jesus that actually is useful as power on the missions field. What do we have to offer people in NOLA? I don't know. I'm not propagating white Jesus. I'm not propagating, I feel bad for you, so I'm coming in pity. I'm not going to NOLA because we pity people there. That's stupid. We should just stay here and pity people, right? There's broke people everywhere. God calls. God has appointments. God has an agenda for where I go and when I go. And I have to trust Him in it. So what about my mess? Your mess does not disengage you from mission. The only way your mess wins is if you allow it to be your excuse for the rest of your life. Everybody hear me? And if y'all want to sit down one by one and have a conversation about why you think your mess makes you the one person of all of history that Jesus should have put a side note in there for, we can talk about that and you prove me wrong. Bring your Bible in a lunch. Amen? We always get these questions about the urban church. And by the way, we've changed a lot over the last year, but we are an urban church. We are in the city for the city because we're from the city. We love what God does in the city. And for years, we've always had questions, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but aren't you guys, oh, here's a few things. Number one, isn't there enough room for you to do things in your own neighborhood? What's the answer to that? Of course, we could just spend all our days in our neighborhood praying and walking and stuff. What's the problem with that? It's anti-biblical to only stay. God, when He gave the commission, it's here, there, and everywhere. When we read Acts 1:8 in places like this, we're supposed to be global thinkers in our worship. Doesn't mean you don't stay here and serve on the block for the rest of your days. Number one. Number two is, what about good stewardship? How can a broke little church just spend all their money on missions. Doesn't that seem faulty? And my question is, when has that ever been a good argument for everybody? The only people that can go are suburban, well-off people? That's the indicator of someone that could go on missions is people that have money? I like to get a little swag on when we talk about these financial situations. Just like this, not too bad, not too cocky, not flexing too much. I don't really have a lot to flex. Every time God provides. If he calls you and you step out in faith, and you've heard these stories, some of you haven't. We went to Indonesia, 19 people, $60,000. We didn't have a dime. God did it. Went to Greece, $30,000. 10 people, didn't have a dime. Every time we went to Dallas, we didn't have a dime. New Orleans, we don't have the money to just pay for our team to go. We're essentially almost already fully funded. I mean, come on. The whole thing about mission is a faith journey. And it stretches you, amen? Now I'm using that same faith to get my $70,000 pickup truck. Hey, whoa. I don't know if you should have clapped for that, but thanks. I'm glad you're excited about me getting a new pickup truck. I'll take a $40,000 pickup. I'm that humble. And how much could we really accomplish is another question we get. And in the end, y'all, we've just seen Jesus move over and over and over again. We saw in Indonesia, we saw a family that had been locked in the mountains and living a Hindu lifestyle. This dude, the daddy, ended up coming to the Lord. Steve and them were there sharing the gospel with them. That whole family tree has been changed forever. When we were in South Dallas a number of years ago in the summer outreach, it was hotter than hot, right? We saw 12 people come to know Jesus from our little church, our little group of people. I mean, God does miraculous things. I love when someone offered to send me a book one time about we were asking for funds. This guy from a big church, God bless him. He said, man, I don't know you guys are doing right. I'm going to send you a book that'll teach you how to do American missions better. So here's the deal, y'all. It is our heart to be missionaries and church planters. When you are a part of this church, say this with me. We are missionaries. All right, let me try it again. It's all together. Ready? Get your chops ready. We are missionaries and church planters. Now, you might think, well, that's not my thing. I better go to another church. If you run into another church that's not their call also, run. Because they're a box with closed doors and they will die. I don't care how many thousands of people they have now. If they're not about God's work in the nations and in the city, they will die. You being here and you being a follower of Jesus means, by proxy, by default, as a follower of Jesus, you are a missionary and we are church planters. Amen? We'll have that sign up too after. So here's the deal. Missions calls us out on what we say we believe. A.W. Tozer, I have a few missions quotes that I've used for like 20,000 years because I love them. But he says this, he says, Christians don't tell lies, they just go to church and sing them. Ow. Christians don't tell lies, they just go to church and sing them. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. Let's go make it the hometown buffet. What you pray, I pray. Man, don't you all want to live genuinely and powerfully by the Spirit of God to see him change our city and the nation and the nations? That is why we exist. And as we've walked over the years, there's a couple of verses. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that anyone should perish, but all should reach repentance. Eternity hinges on mission. I heard somebody sent me this is kind of funny, this actually popped up this week. This verse in like Matthew 24:14, it talks about he's not coming back until all the world has had a chance to believe, and some people believe that that's Bible translation, and once all these nations and all these unreached people groups have access to God's word and be able to hear the name of Jesus, that Jesus will come. This text in the Matthew 24:4-14, I just put way too many fours in there. 24:4-14. Matthew 24:14 says that, and I saw somebody sent me a link the other day, and she's a sweet girl. She said, "Hey, can you watch this, Pastor Rob, and tell me what these guys think, what you think about what these guys say?" And these guys were tearing up missions movements like ours and churches like movements we belong to. They don't like church plant movements, which seems weird. Super, super great theological reformer guys, which I usually banging on with. And they were making fun of people, mocking people that call that to the heart of Matthew 24:14, like living to see Jesus come back is just selfish. And that's the whole reason church plant movements exist, some of us, because we want to see Jesus come back. Now, let me say twofold. Number one, seeing Jesus come back is not the only reason why we go and do missions, right? We go share the gospel. We want to see people free. We want to get a good tan and some pictures, right? That was a joke. But in my heart, there ain't a diggity dang thing wrong with wanting this gospel message to be accomplished so Jesus will come home. I just want to make sure we take people with us. And eternity, biblically, listen, heaven borders on when the gospel has been preached to all nations, people, tribes, tongues. What should that do to us? God, we're having such a good time here that I can't imagine anything in heaven would beat out this last couple weeks. COVID was a life changer, God. Thank you for all my time at home. Eternity hinges on missions. Amen? And by the way, there's going to come a day when that generation is the last generation. You hear me? People have been wrong for 2,000 years. They thought they had it right, but guess what? There will come down to be one generation that's right. One generation in the last days. What if we're that generation? What if we will see Jesus coming in the sky? I don't want to be at home in my basement hiding from people like I do when that day comes. Amen. Richard Bach, you guys all know Ricky. He said, "Here's a test to find whether your mission on earth is finished. If you are alive, it isn't." For some of you senior saints, or for some of you that aren't quite there but act like you're a senior saint, or young people, whatever you are, your time has not. One of my favorite things to see is 70 and 80-year-old men and women where their bodies are giving out and their lives are giving out, and they still have joy. They still talk about Jesus. They still pray for people. I pray to God on all of us on our deathbeds. We will be those women, men and women who proclaim the goodness of God. There's no retirement from this deal. Well, we'll share the gospel collectively until 65, and then maybe we'll try Bermuda in a timeshare. You can retire from your job. Your job is not your existence. Some of you need to hear that. Your job and your career field is not who you are. You are representatives of the kingdom 24/7. The job is the vehicle. And when that job goes, is your mission done? Heck no. What am I saying? You can't go retire in the Poconos? Is anybody going to retire in the Poconos here? Logan's got to go retire in the Poconos. Mike, you raised that kid right. No, we go to the Poconos to share the gospel. And so here's just a few things I want to cover today. I love talking about this. By the way, this hit my heart last night. If you want to know one of my biggest prayers as a church and as a pastor is, I pray in my heart that there would be as much excitement and response over a series and sermons on missions as there is on identity. They're so interconnected. God sets us free to set other people free, right? It sets us free. So I just want to give you what I call some DNA of missions and why we can mission in the mess and when you boil these things down. And so here's the first one. Missions is simple obedience to the commands of Jesus. Amen? John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, It is he who loves me. We just talked about this. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. He just said, whoever keeps my commandments is that person who loves me. By the way, we show that we love Jesus, not working for him, but working from him. Our fruit that comes up out of our lives. Mission rises up out of the love of God. Amen? When you know and have the love of God, it's a simple response to Jesus in obedience. James 1, 22 through 25. Be doers of the word, not only hearers, hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks instantly at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and does and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Essentially, without going into the very many vines of that verse, get her done. That's a get her done verse. Right? Everybody say, that's a get her done verse. Be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Can you see Larry the Cable Guy doing that? Do what Jesus commands us to do. By the way, this is why we spend so much talking about the heart of Jesus when it comes to missions in life. Because once you get the heart of Jesus, once you get the fullness of who Jesus is, obedience is a simple answer to the revelation of God. Obedience is a revelation. It's obedience to a revelation of God. When you see who he is, when you see that it was his blood on the cross for your neck, your salvation, when you see the goodness of God of how he's saving our families and our legacies and our lives, the answer should be, yes, God. When you know who Jesus is and he's not just some legalistic jerk in the sky trying to force you out of fun, and you see him for the God of grace who loves you and has given everything for you, has a place in eternity mapped out just for you, the answer is this. Yes, God. Missions, living that lifestyle is simple obedience to saying yes to Jesus. Amen? Mission is the proper reaction to our salvation in Christ Jesus. Dr. Dob Rands. Very affluent. Thank you. I haven't done that in a while. I sometimes mess up my name to see if anybody notices. Listen to the C.T. Studd quote. By the way, if you ever want to read about an amazing missionary, he is my favorite missionary of all times. C.T. Studd, he says, if Jesus be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Man, if you get this Jesus thing, submission in your marriage, it's doable. Getting low and humbled is doable. If Christ died for me, and there is nothing in the book that he can ask or call me to that I won't touch. Right? Being givers and doers and serving in the church and giving grace and forgiveness instead of angst and anger. Amen? So if doing that is what, if we desire to do what he commands, what does he command us to do? He commands us to live a life of missions. We read through the Great Commission, the verse of all verses, ongoing. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the very end of the age. Again, let's start by a raising of hands. How many families in here are people of looking at that verse? You have some kind of disqualifier that doesn't make that pertain to you. That's your mission. Why we're here. If somebody told you before that Jesus is about you having a good life and getting what you need and your kids going to the right college and having all this stuff work out, God's in the middle of all those things, I'm sure. But guess what? That is not the end game. The end game is God positioning you in places to live your mission. Holla, holla. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. Amen. Do you guys know what that means? Here, there, everywhere. Everybody say, here, there, everywhere. By the way, did you see anything in there? I hate to keep asking stupid questions like these, but it's fun for me. Did anybody see a disqualifier in there from you not being a part of any of those? Because here's what the Judea and Samaria, Jerusalem, okay, these are different regions here, there, and everywhere. They're just places where, and by the way, they were all tough fields. And so Jerusalem was where Jesus was executed at the word of the angry mob. Judea was where his ministry was rejected. Samaria is where they were regarded as a wasteland of impure half-breeds, and let Jesus still went there to the ends of the earth. Gentiles were seen by the Jews as nothing better than fuel for the fires of hell. They hated Gentiles, and Jesus put himself and called them and us to every single quadrant of that. Amen? Acts 13:47 says, "For the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." John 20:21 says, "Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so, I am sending you." Here, I'd love to, let me hit on this for a second. Think about what Jesus just said. Number one, he's made us a light to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? We are. Every single person that is not a orthodox, original, not heretical, hereditary Jew. You're not a true Jew. Everybody else is a Gentile, okay? And so when we think about this, when he's saying that he has made us a light to everybody, and even the Jews are included in that, but we say to the Gentiles, okay? But he says, "Peace be with you." And Jesus says in John 20:21, "As the Father has sent me, as so am I sending you." So you got to stop for a minute, push pause. How was Jesus sent? If we are sent the same way the Father sent him, what does it look like? And listen to this. Jesus, number one, was sent out of his security. He had to leave a posh place and go into the darkness to bring light. Number two, he was sent as a servant. The King of heaven came to get low. He was sent that way. Jesus was sent for the sick and for the poor. Jesus was sent for sinners. Jesus was sent to teach. Jesus was sent to live among nasty people. That's us, right? Jesus was sent to suffer for truth and righteousness. Jesus was sent to sacrifice, to die, as a sacrifice to die for others. Jesus was sent to rescue. So when Jesus says, "How I'm sent by the Father, I am sending you." Guess what that means? Leaving our places of comfort, giving up our lives, living and dying for the gospel, teaching, living amongst the darkness to be a light. Amen? I'm just going to go this point, and we'll come back to some of this next week. But missions is the doorway to finishing well. Everybody say, missions is the doorway to finishing well. That's good. I had a lot of other stuff that I want to talk about, but I just want to end with this today. Paul talks about this thing in Timothy, 2 Timothy again, when he's talking to his Timothy, and he says, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me in that day. And not only to me, but also to all of those who have loved his appearing." Do you know that it's scriptural that you can actually know that you've done a good job? Do you believe by the words of Paul? And this isn't the only place he talks about this, but Paul seems to say, "I did it. I ran the race. I did what I was supposed to do. I did what I was called to do." Now, I don't think there's probably hardly anybody in here that would say every night you go to bed and your head hits that pillow and you're like, "Yep, nailed it. Anyone? I mean, do you feel good, most of you, about your Christianity and how faithful you've been to the Lord? Or do you walk around like this moping mess and you have all these excuses about why you're such a sinner and how you don't deserve this, which is all true, by the way. You're supposed to give praise for that, not wallow in that truth. Holla. Listen, without living a missional life, and put this up there, you cannot finish the race well. You can give all the money that you've ever had to the church, to missions. You can do all the service projects at church. You can do all of the times of prayer, and you could be a powerful worship or worship leader. But if you didn't engage the mission of your life, it's impossible to finish well. Like, I don't know about you, but when I go, I'm already going to have enough baggage that I ask the Lord to let me into the basement of heaven, if there is such a place. I'll be the janitor. I'm just lucky to be here, right? But by the way, there's no janitors and basements in heaven. There's just God's glory and His grace for His children, right? I know I'm saved. This isn't a salvation thing. It doesn't say you'll lose your salvation if you don't miss out on that, but there could be a problem if you're not obeying Him. That could be a salvation issue. I want Jesus to look at me and say, "Well done. You did it." I want to be on my deathbed and go, that's not what I want to be on my deathbed. That's lung cancer or something. That's not what I was trying to portray. Y'all, I want to be on my deathbed so eager to see Him and having contentment in my heart that I did what He wanted me to do. I just want to honor Him. I'm not saying I am in every area of my life, but you know what? I've had victory in some places. It's okay to talk about the things God has done to change your life. Humility is not trashing yourself all the time. Humility is just understanding where the life change came from, right? Like, humility is just understanding what it is. So has God done a thing in you? Do you think the Lord is proud of you for things? Some of you say, no, we probably need to have a counseling session. Guess what He is? You're His child. You are His beloved. And He has equipped you and empowered you on the face of this earth to live as a light. If you truly want to honor Him with your life and finish well, this has to be a piece of it. Learning how to, we've made it so complicated in sharing the gospel. We've got classes and courses and trainings and teachings and evaluations, and why those things are good. Here's what it simply is. It's living on purpose so the person in your family or in your life, in your neighborhood, your coworkers, see the Jesus within you, and you share that Jesus with your life and with your words when the doorway's open. That's what it is. It's being on purpose. You don't just go to work to provide for your family. You go to work because there's provision for your family, but you go there to be the light. And once we start praying that way, once we start thinking that way, once high schoolers start to regain that in their heart, and guess what? We finish well. He's honored and glorified. People come. Wouldn't you love to see this room full of not just people moving here with disdain for other churches, but because they were in darkness and now they're in the light? Wouldn't you want to see people getting baptized in droves, not because we're catchy and fancy and we put on a good show, but there's people with tears and real repentance? Yes! Don't we want to see people come to the Lord? Don't we want to see churches planted? I don't care about this becoming the best and coolest church on the face of the earth. I'm the wrong guy to lead that place. I'm telling you, I'd rather see you go with it. You planting house churches. You going to the nations. You doing what God has equipped you to do. And not trying to keep you all here because I'm insecure. Amen? This morning as we go into a time of worship, I just would pursue the question with Jesus. Is this, if this has never even crossed your radar before, this is, you know, you're a new believer, and we have some of you in this room, and you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Great, welcome, I just opened the door. Ask the Lord, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And don't get overcomplicated. Just, Jesus, who do I just want to share you. Am I supposed to go on a short-term missions trip? By the way, that's for everybody. I'm serious about every single one of you. Lovely, godly, booby-doo, hooty-hoos, whatever you are. I don't know what that means. Going. Next year, the borders go away for us. Next year, we want to start having U.S. trips and international trips. We're going to Russia. I'm not going to stop that. We're going to be in Mongolia. We're going to be in places that the borders say they're closed. We're going to Myanmar. We're also going to New Orleans, right? We're going to our city. We're going to your neighborhood. But we are not the church of the Bible if this isn't the tip of the spear with the blood of Jesus.